You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, All Eager to Devour Us. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
On the popular TV game show Jeopardy, host Alex Trebek first gives an answer, and then the contestants try to win dollars by asking the correct question. For example, if the category is mountains, Alex Trebek might say, Mount McKinley. A contestant will push the buzzer and ask, What is the highest summit in North America? Alex says, that is correct. The category this month on our program is Satan and Satanism. After the manner of Alex Trebek, let me give you today's first answer for our program of Spiritual Jeopardy. Today's first answer is, they are all eager to devour us. Can you formulate the correct question for that answer? I hope so. And, unlike Alex Trebek, I'll give you some hints. Listen to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Jesus did not eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights. At the end of that time, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus answered, Scripture says a person cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that God speaks. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the highest part of the temple. He said to Jesus, If you are the Son of God, jump! Scripture says he will put his angels in charge of you. They will carry you in their hands so that you never hit your foot against a rock. Jesus said to him, Again, Scripture says, Never tempt the Lord your God. Once more, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms in the world and their glory. The devil said to him, I will give you all this if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Go away, Satan. Scripture says, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left him, and angels came to take care of him. Satan left, but he would return. After all, the devil's unchanging purpose is to undo the goodness of God toward us sinners. It was an audacious attempt by Satan, but after all, he is against God, and against Christ, and against you, and your loved ones, too. So now let's talk spiritual jeopardy. After the manner of Alex Trebek, I give this answer. All eager to devour us. Mark, what is the correct question?
What's the purpose of Satan and all the devils?
Good for you, Mark. You got it right, and I hope you listeners did also. If Satan had the temerity to go at Jesus, will he hesitate to work evil in your life? And furthermore, why won't he go at your children and your grandchildren? He wants to strip us of our Christian faith. As Jesus once said to Peter, Satan wants to separate you from me. Indeed, the devil and all his cohorts are, as Martin Luther phrased it, all eager to devour us. That's why we must pray. Oh God, we love our families and our young people. Your Son Jesus died and rose for them and for us all. If Jesus is not the center of their lives, they're easy prey for Satan's evil schemes. We adults cannot put Christ in their heart, but your Holy Spirit can. May our words and conduct so expose them to the word of truth that your Holy Spirit will plant and grow faith in Jesus in their hearts, both for their temporal good and for their eternal salvation. Lord, we need your help. In the Savior's name we ask for it. Amen. In my preparation for this message, I was surprised to discover that most young people who come under Satan's influence through the occult were raised in average homes, not chambers of horror, and they had varying degrees of communication with their parents. They were not shut out emotionally by mom and dad. So, what gives? Why did they get caught up in Satanism and the occult? The answer seems to be that they lacked a clear sense of their identity and their spiritual values, and that deficiency made them prime targets of Satan. We're talking about real spiritual jeopardy for ourselves and for the young people whom we love. Today's second spiritual jeopardy answer in the category of Satan and Satanism is deep guile and great might. What's the question? Before Mark attempts the question, let me share with you some Bible passages about Satan. The devil and his companions are spirits. That means that they have no physical bodies. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, this is not a wrestling match against a human opponent. We are wrestling with spiritual forces. You cannot see them. And doesn't that increase the potential that they can work harm to you and your children? These evil beings are numerous. They're all over the place. In Mark 5, 9, a demon told Jesus, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us." Doesn't that mean, then, that you and your children have to deal with them? These evil beings are powerful. 1 Peter 5, 8 compares the devil to a roaring lion. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion as he looks for someone to devour. This verse does not compare Satan to your pet dog or hamster. The devil is powerful, more powerful than you are, and he's on the prowl for you. These unseen beings know God. The religious talk that you and I are doing right now is not strange to the demons. They're familiar with the Christian faith. James 2:19 says, "You believe that there is one God." That's fine. The devils also believe that. Think that through. Since the demons know about God, doesn't it follow that they will be very subtle when they come after you? When Genesis described our fall into sin, it said that the serpent through whom Satan worked was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. Jesus tells it the way it is in John 8:44. He says the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He has never been truthful. He doesn't know what the truth is. Whenever he tells a lie, he's doing what comes naturally to him. He's a liar and the father of lies. Now you will never hear the warning any clearer than that. You and I have no reason to fail on this challenge in spiritual jeopardy. The answer is deep guile and great might. Mark, what's the question?
What weapons does Satan use?
Mark, you're absolutely correct. Did you listeners also have the correct question? The resources of Satan are deep guile and great might. They are, as Luther said, his dread arms in fight. The next spiritual jeopardy is difficult. The answer is escapism and careless and selfish individualism. Escapism and careless and selfish individualism. I'll give you some hints before we see if Mark has the correct question. We do know how Satan will come after us Christians, especially after young adults. He'll come at us in some of the same ways he went after Jesus. He'll appeal to our human desires. When the devil suggested that Jesus turn stones into bread, he was offering an unbridled materialism. Who among us, especially young people, wouldn't like to have every material thing that we would like? And when the devil suggested that Jesus jump from the pinnacle of the temple, he was offering a carefree life, no consequences for bad decisions. Wouldn't it be tempting not to suffer any consequences for what you do? You know that young people think that they are immortal, immune to the consequences of their actions. This temptation is right up their alley. And when Satan offered worldly kingdoms and glory to Jesus, he was dangling the world's power and privileges that so many people, young people especially, yearn to have. "If you want it, Jesus, you can have it," said Satan. Today, Satanists say to young people, "You want it? You can have it. You should have it." The appeal to our natural instincts underlies much of the occult. The guiding philosophy of Anton LaVey's Church of Satan is expressed in his 9 satanic statements. Listen to several of them. Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. Satan represents kindness to those who deserve it instead of love wasted on ingrates. Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. Satan represents all of the so-called sins as they all lead to physical, mental, or emotional gratification. In his book, How to Respond to Satanism, Bruce Fredrickson writes, "Satan's battlegrounds are obvious. He uses escapism, sexual freedom, indiscriminate use of drugs and alcohol, and careless and selfish individualism. Satan disguises himself in deceit and destruction. In a bizarre reversal of his role, Satan often appears quite attractive instead of being cursed and avoided. Now it's spiritual jeopardy time again. The answer comes from Fredrickson's quotation. That answer is escapism and careless and selfish individualism. Mark, what's the question?
How do Satan and Satanists appeal to people?
Once again, Mark, you are correct. If you and the listeners continue this way, you'll be winners in spiritual jeopardy. Now, to today's final spiritual jeopardy. The answer is Christian education. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion as he looks for someone to devour. Be firm in the faith and resist him." How can you do that? How can our children resist Satan? Look at the way Jesus resisted the temptations of Satan. When Satan offered him bread, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. "A person cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that God speaks." When Satan offered him escapism through a safe jump from the pinnacle of the temple, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 16. "Never tempt the Lord your God." Finally, when Satan offered him the kingdoms of the world and all their glory, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6:13, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." You know what? The word of God works. That's why Jesus prayed to the Heavenly Father in John 17 and said, "I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to protect them from the evil one. Use the truth to make them holy. Your words are truth." Is Bible reading part of your home life? Are you and your children involved in Sunday school and Bible class? Are your children memorizing key Bible passages that they can have at their disposal when Satan tempts them, just as Jesus resisted Satan with memorized passages? Does your family talk about issues of faith as you sit around the dinner table or in the family room? You and I cannot make family members Christian. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. However, in our daily and weekly routines, you and I can expose family members and friends to the Word of God. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit will be able to do His saving work. And it's all about Jesus Christ. Christian education is not about disjointed and unconnected Bible passages. It's about Jesus Christ, the conqueror of Satan and the savior of us sinners. Christian education is about Jesus, who died for you and for me, and thus earned forgiveness for all the times you and I have given in to the guile and might of the devil. Christian education is about Jesus, who rose on Easter and gives life, abundant life. That's a better offer for you and your loved ones than to be caught in the deadly jaws of prowling Satan. Christian education is all about your personal relationship through faith with the one who is true God and true man, your Savior Jesus. Christian education is not just another academic study. It is, or should be, an expression of your lifelong love for the one who was and the one who is coming, the one who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. And now, today's final spiritual jeopardy. Remember, the answer is Christian education. Mark, what is the question?
Dr. Meyer, the question is, how can we and our loved ones resist the devil and Satanists?
Absolutely correct. If you and I get to know more and more about Jesus Christ through his word, we will safely pass through our present spiritual jeopardies, and we will be more than conquerors through him who loves us. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.